Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 154 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be to meet the people that make theater happen. Just a quick reminder that you can download and subscribe to the podcast from the Apple Podcast app or from iTunes. That way your feed will automatically be updated when we release episodes, but you can also listen to us on many other podcast streaming services such as Stitcher and Google Play and iHeartRadio and Spotify and all the others. Please rate and review our podcast if you have a spare 30 seconds and help us reach more theater lovers out there around the globe. And now for this week's episode. Today's guest is a truly a world traveler. She was born in Australia, grew up in America, traveled the world by boat, and has now ended up in London, where she finished the national tour of the musical Fame just before COVID-19 forced her to stop her next auditions. Georgia Tapp is an inspiration for anyone looking to find their way in the business. She's done it all because she is the definition of a doer, and we love doers here at Curtain Call. So sit back for the next 25 minutes, let Georgia tell you what called her to the theater, her travels, the final auditions she was undergoing right when the pandemic brought everything to a halt. But also like keeping your voice and body in good nick when you're not using it every day. It's a great conversation. Have a listen.
This is so cool.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you for coming over on a Saturday.
Yeah.
All the way from across the street, basically.
Yeah, not too far.
So, Georgia, just full disclosure, we've only known each other for like a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I've known your partner's parents in you know, kind of in a weird way, like you were, they were neighbors by default. Let's just say
exactly.
That. Allison was telling me about you and I was like, oh God, yeah, this is so cool. I know that tour of Fame. I remember seeing the first tour because you've just come off of Fame.
Yeah.
But when COVID hit, I just remember thinking of, we'd never met you before. And I was like, I wonder what George's going to happen to Georgia. So before we get into all of that, why don't you tell everybody who's listening, first of all, your name, your background, and what actually brought you to these shores, because I know you're very busy. I've seen your resume. So what kind of brings you to London?
Yeah. So my name's Georgia Tapp. I'm from Berkeley, California. Originally, I went to Boston Conservatory of Music for musical theater, studied there for 4 years and got a Bachelor of Fine Arts in musical theater. And then I moved to New York straight after. I've worked regionally, and then I also worked on cruise ships with AIDA Cruise Lines and Celebrity as a lead vocalist. Mm-hmm. Got to travel all over the world. And then it ultimately kind of brought me here.
Yeah.
And my parents are Australian, so I was able to get a visa to like live and work here for 2 years without having, you know, it was just, it was easy for me to sign up for the visa and then just move. So yeah, I moved here, in February of 2019 and got an agent, didn't know anyone except for a few friends, but managed to get an agent and then started auditioning for West End shows and musicals and tours. And yeah, it took me about 8 months, I would say, of hard work in the audition room to finally book Fame. Yeah. So I came in as a replacement. They did an extension of the tour to play Carmen, which was such a great part to play. Yeah, so that ended at the end of, it was at the end of January.
Yeah.
Right, like maybe a month or two right before COVID hit. Yeah. And then here I am now.
I mean, so taking you right back, because it is, that's, I mean, it's an incredible journey. Your parents moving to America, to California, and you kind of grew up there. So obviously you wanted to perform. You were, because, or did you? Like,
yeah, no, I started singing when I was about seven, and I was also a dancer. I took dance lessons every, like, afternoon. But my parents didn't know what to do with me when I was younger, because I had two older brothers. They were, like, heavily into sports, and I came out being, like, jazz hands. Like, I want to sing and dance and, like, put costumes on.
Nice.
So, yeah, I my mom found a theater company for kids, and I just went into that musical theater company, and I just fell in love with it. It was like, I felt like I had found my people.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is the community that I want to surround myself in. So yeah, I was kind of bit by the theater bug from when I was, really, really young.
Did that carry on through high school?
Yeah.
Then go on to train?
Yeah. So I basically did probably like over 20 musicals when I was in high school, like throughout, like in school and outside.
You were the high school musical, basically.
Yes, I was. I was definitely that like nerdy musical theater girl.
Nice.
But I lived for it. Yeah, and so then when colleges, when that whole thing was going on, definitely my dad was like, I want you to go to UCLA. Like, you can get an acting degree and like also another degree in some
business,
sort of, probably business. But I just didn't want to go there. I really wanted to go to a conservatory where it was, you know, a really intense curriculum. You ate, slept, and breathed, like, all theater. So, yeah, I moved to Boston and went there when I was 18 for 4 years, which was incredible. I loved it.
That's such a great theater. I mean, for people who haven't been to Boston, you know, once you were able to travel, go, because there's so much theater there. And the university theater is off the charts incredible.
Yeah, you know? No, it's amazing. It's, yeah, it's a great town. It's also really close to New York. So when I was in college, like, we would hop on these, like, the Fung Wah bus, and, like, it would cost us, I think, like, $5. We would get to New York at, like, 6 in the morning and try and hit, like, auditions, just open auditions for musicals, like, for Broadway and stuff. Yeah. So it was really exciting because, like, you were still in school, but then, like, able to, like, access all this other stuff that was going on, like, in the real world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. It was so much fun.
George, you have done so much stuff. I love a doer.
Yeah.
Like, I love a doer. Like, and you, having spoken to you a few weeks ago, just we talked about Chris, I mean, I was like, buzzed after talking to you, because I was like, oh, God, that's a doer. Somebody who just wants to do the next thing. What's the next thing? So, when you were at university, you got 3 or 4 years, like, was cruising on the menu? Was it something that you saw as that's something where I could go cut my teeth, you know? And,
you know, the cruise industry kind of came into my life, like, kind of randomly. I had been in New York maybe a year and a half or maybe 2 years. And, like, I was still auditioning and having a good time and getting callbacks and consistent things. And I had done, like, an off-Broadway show, and then I worked regionally out at Alabama Shakespeare Festival.
What a great festival.
Yes, a great place. But I wasn't, like, securing the parts that I wanted to in New York. Mm-hmm. And then the cruise stuff kind of came along as, like, oh, you know what? I've actually never traveled. I would kind of like a little bit of a break from the craziness of New York. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just kind of came at a perfect time for me to hop on a cruise and like go travel and save some money, which I was able to like pay my student loans off, you know, just from doing the cruises, which
amazing.
I feel like a lot of actors just don't have the capabilities to do that.
Yeah, sure.
And save money so that when I did come back to New York, I was able to like put my, you know, I could take acting classes, I could take dance classes. So it really actually helped propel me into like the next kind of stage of things when I was back in New York. But yeah, it wasn't ever anything that I kind of anticipated wanting or doing. But I loved it. It was great. You know, I got to meet people from all over the world, and it ultimately, I mean, brought me here in London. So I'm super grateful for it. And I've loved the adventure that I've gotten to go and do.
I think that, you know, look, the cruise industry will come back. Everything will happen again. And the cruises were, I was seeing castings for incredible shows, like massive shows.
Yeah.
That were, and the theaters, apparently, again, that was saying, the theaters in the ships were just, you know, they were huge.
Yeah,
they
could
accommodate.
Yeah, the cruise industry is like, at least with the entertainment side,
yeah,
it's definitely changed from like what it was 15 years ago, where,
yeah,
you know, you got the old,
it's
like,
not a piano.
Vegas,
yeah.
Or like the showgirls in their like,
yeah,
fancy like feather dresses and like that kind of stuff. No, they're doing like proper musicals now that are, you know, basically the productions from Broadway or,
yeah,
from the West End. Like they have Six, they're doing, what was it? Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yeah.
Like they're doing We Will Rock You.
Grease, West Side
Hairspray.
Story, Hairspray,
yeah,
yeah.
Like tons and tons of shows. And yeah, I mean, they're state-of-the-art brand new theaters. So it's really great, like, and the audience is probably like 2,000. I mean, these cruises are like only getting larger,
yeah,
and larger.
Yeah.
Where they have like 8,000 people on a cruise.
That
so you think
insane.
Like, yeah, you get two shows a night and maybe 4,000 people sometimes in one of the
yeah,
of the theaters. So, yeah, you're getting to play to a full house and.
That's mad.
Yeah,
that's,
no, it's really cool.
It's mad. And that goes for, God, and you're talking about the onstage element because it's just the actual stage crew.
Yeah.
You know, are you need the same that you would have in a West End theater behind them, making sure that the, you know,
yeah,
the stage manager, the wardrobe, the dresser,
the
lighting, the sound.
Yeah.
That's incredible to think how big that's got. And it will, like I said, it will continue. So
yeah,
you think what made that decision then to jump off the cruises? I mean, you said you went to New York, you kind of.
So I went to New York, I did the cruise things kind of on and off.
Right,
I didn't,
okay,
ever like do it fully like straight for a couple of years.
Mm.
I would always go and then come back and go.
Mm.
Usually to get out of the winter in,
yeah,
New York. I was always like,
very smart.
Yeah, I'll go to the Caribbean for like a couple of months. I'm all right with that.
Nice.
Yeah, but I think once you get to, I mean, I'm 32. I'm not like a spring chicken anymore. you know, you're,
yeah,
away from your family and you're,
yeah,
away from just life, you know, in general, or regular life in,
yeah,
general. So I think the novelty of it kind of wears off as you get a bit older and you want to like, not, I'm never the person that like really wants to settle down.
Yeah.
I'm always changing and like wanting to move and travel and stuff, but I definitely wanted to be living on land. So,
yeah,
that was like a big thing. So when I finished this last cruise, I was still living in New York, but I knew that at that point I didn't want to come back to New York at that moment.
Right.
I was like, you know, I'd lived in New York for about, or was based out of New York for about 9 years. And I just knew at that point, this is my time to go.
Mm.
And so I was trying to figure out where I was going to end up. And then I realized I could get this visa to come to London. And, you know, I love theater so much.
Yeah.
And I just thought, hey, like, why not, like, give it a go?
Yeah.
Like, I have these 2 years that are given to me. It's so easy for me to, like, just hop on a plane. I literally came with, like, 3 bags, showed up to my friend's apartment, and, like, it was, I really didn't even think about it that much, to be honest.
I love, but that's great. I mean, that's some of the best decisions that you make. You just, you had an instinct that you wanted to come and land. And you.
It's been great to, like, just learn to be a part of a different theater community,
yeah,
you know, and kind of figure out how to start that all again, but in my 30s.
Yeah.
You know how.
So that's fascinating. I'd love to know when we have guests on that are not from England or London or the London scene or maybe English but are now based out in America. I'd love to know the difference. What you see the differences. So what when you go in for the audition process or I
mm-hmm,
you know how it differs from how they get you in and when they see you here as opposed to what it's like that you know in New York.
I mean, I think it, obviously it is similar in a lot of ways,
yeah,
but I do find that there are very stark contrasts. So getting into the room I find is a lot harder here.
Right.
I felt like in New York, I could hit up 10 auditions in a week.
Mm.
but a lot of them were, it all kind of felt like fluff. Like, yeah. Nobody was actually giving me the time in the room because they were just seeing everyone.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so it was like quantity over quality,
right.
There, I would say.
Makes sense, yeah.
Unless it was for like, you know, a high profile part, like they really were trying to pick and choose who they wanted to come in. But for the most part, it just felt like they wanted to see as many people as they could because it's so saturated, a million actors there.
Yeah.
And they just didn't give you the time in the audition room, yeah, that you really deserved. And so I find here, they're more selective to get that audition slot so that when you're actually, you walk into the room, they're like, oh, hi, we actually want to get to know you as a person and we have 20 minutes. You know, instead, yeah, of, okay, let me sing my 16-bar cut,
yeah,
and then, like,
maybe get a dance call, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and so that's been really refreshing,
yeah,
as an actor,
yeah,
to kind,
yeah,
of walk into a room and feel like you're welcomed and they really do want you to be the person,
yeah,
that is there for the job.
Yeah.
You know? So you, it's just, it felt like a different energy when I've walked into,
yeah,
the room. And I don't know if that's because when I walk into the room, I'm just slightly, maybe a bit
different
to just the other people that,
mm,
are auditioning, just because I'm from California.
Yeah.
I just have a different way about me. And maybe that's a bit refreshing for them.
Sure.
I don't really know. And one other thing just about auditioning specifically for musicals, here they want full songs for,
yeah,
an audition,
yeah,
which, you know, even for my first audition here, which was for Matilda on the West End, my agent called me the day before and was like, just so you know, they're going to want a full song. I know that in New York, you're used to your 16, 32 bar cut,
yeah,
but that's not what they want. They want pretty much a full song or a very long version of it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh God, I have to really, I need to look through my rep book and,
yeah,
actually, do I know the full song? I was like, I need to learn like another version of chorus. I want,
yeah,
you know, so that was something that was totally different
that's,
to what,
that's fascinating. Yeah.
You know, cause you're used to, I mean, when we were in college, we were told like, leave them wanting more, like, give them not that much because it allows them not to see what they don't like about you.
Right.
But when you sing a full song, it's like, oh, we really like you in the beginning. And then, oh, wait, you've done something that, you know, it gives you that time to kind of be like, maybe,
yeah,
you're not the one. So it was something that I kind of had to switch and think like, okay, how am I going to, yeah, try this out?
Tell
it's
a story
just,
or take him on a journey or whatever.
Yeah,
song.
Just, I just was out of practice with that because I was so used to kind of like, going in, going to the accompanist, giving me,
yeah,
giving the time, and then sing goodbye, thanks, you know?
Yeah.
And it just felt like here you really got to have that,
yeah,
time, which I just wasn't used to.
Yeah.
So I had to like slow myself down, but it was really lovely, you know?
But you've come, so the thing is, what's fascinating, so you're, you know, 30 years old and coming to almost a start again.
And now for a little short sponsor break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
Welcome back to the Curtain Call Theater Podcast with American actress Georgia Tapp.
It sounds like you were beginning to get in the room.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, it was. I mean, my first audition, which was for Miss Honey and Matilda,
yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is such a great audition for my first,
yeah,
thing here, you know, after moving, I think it was like 3 weeks after I moved here.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, I'm doing it right. Like, this is great. And I got a great agent as well. Like, he was really pushing for me.
Amazing.
But yeah, like, I found that here I was really doing well with callbacks. And I feel like as an actor, that's what you just need.
Oh, of course,
you just,
yeah,
really need to get those consistent callbacks and then you can kind of figure out like, what am I doing in this moment to really, to get that callback?
Yeah.
And you know, every time you go into the audition, it's going to be slightly different. But even with Carmen, when I went in, it's funny, for that part, because it was a teenager, you know, I was playing a teenager, and somebody half my age, I kind of went into this, I think we danced first. So we did a big dance cut, but, I went in thinking like, to be honest, I'm a bit too old for this, but I'm going to go for it. Yeah. Like whatever. Yeah. But I think they saw a bit of Carmen in that because she's this kind of tough girl who's really talented, but also like doesn't give a bleep,
you
know?
You can say it.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. You know, and so I think they saw a bit of Carmen in the way that I kind of approached it, which was not intentional, but it just kind of happened that way. You know, but yeah, no, it's been great. I mean, even after the show closed and we were still, I was having a few more auditions before lockdown actually happened. You know, I was going in for Six, the musical, and we had to sing. I got another call back, a few more, which was, I was like, yes, this is great. And then, of course, lockdown happened. And then we had to do, I did a few self-tapes and had to send that all in. And, you know, the creative team, like, got back and was like, we love you. We want to see you again for the finals. But we have no idea when that's going to happen. You know, so that was a bit heartbreaking. But at the same time, like, you know, I am excited to find out when they're going to see people again when that kind of opens up again. I'm interested to see what's going to happen, you know, come the new year with everything and like what's going to, what is theater going to be? Like, I mean, I have so many friends that are now doing online, you know, interactive shows. And I just auditioned, I actually did a voiceover audition for something that was this, interactive play where it's a socially distant play outside in the streets of London where you get to like listen to a recording and then you watch the actors, you know, do the scenes like outside in the streets. And I was like, that's a really cool way to like kind of take whatever is going on right now and make it work for theater.
Theater works. Like theater doesn't go away. People need to tell stories and people want to see stories, and you know, theater isn't going away. It's just going to change.
Yeah.
It's going to change. The way that we tell stories is going to change. I would like to find out from you kind of any tips that you might have for someone who is looking beyond. Because I, again, Georgia, I love your outlook. I think I just love your, like, the energy and the scope of how you see your career. And I'd like to ask if you had any tips for people who, and look, this just don't navel gaze. You know, I'm not telling you not to navel gaze, but anyone listening who's going, oh, but woe is me, what's this gonna happen? It's gonna happen. This is gonna pass, guys. It's gonna pass.
Yeah.
So when it does, and things are opening up, and which they will, do you have any tips for people to kind of go, right, what, these are my options, or these are my next big best options or whatever, but what would you say to somebody?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, because a lot of people have so much time at home, this is the time to, like, work on your own creativity. And I think, I mean, I've definitely, at the beginning of lockdown, was a bit lazy with, like, you know, I didn't sing for a while. I kind of was like, I need just a break, you know, whatever. But now I'm really trying to, like, kind of be prepared for when an audition comes, you know. I'm going through my rep book. I'm just making sure that I'm so prepared for anything that's going to come my way, because you don't really know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say take the time that people have right now and really use it to your advantage to like prepare yourself for, you know, because I think once auditions kind of start back up, hopefully in the new year or in the spring, there's going to be so much, and you just want to be prepared for it all kind of coming at you.
And have the energy to do it. George, I was in a voiceover the other day, and I was in an hour, and I came out and I went, I can't talk. My voice is so out of shape. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you wonder all the people that, you know, were doing 8 shows a week, and then they're not doing it. Like, one of my friends, Bradley Gibson, he is in Lion King on Broadway, and he plays Simba, which is like a very demanding, like physically, like vocally, everything. And he is only just starting sort of to go back into work. Like they're having some rehearsals and it's whatever. You can't imagine like having, it's like you're an athlete, you know? And then you're not working out those muscles. And then what? You have to like then kind of wham, bam, go back into it. So yeah, you kind of keep up the technique, like keep practicing and like keep that going right now because yeah, I mean, it might be a year in total that people are not doing those 8 shows a week and you lose those muscles. So you definitely need to like keep that going, which is easier said than done.
It is totally easier said than done. Your idea of being ready and start practicing now for when it hits is such good sage advice.
Yeah.
And I think that's a...
Yeah,
that's
it's a something that I'm needing to do now. I'm just very aware of that, for sure.
Now, Georgia, I know that you're not on stage now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep yourself, you know, ready and physically fit and ready to go? So what do you do during the day? I know you're not just sitting... down twiddling your thumbs.
No, I'm not sitting down twiddling my thumbs. So I do teach fitness and that definitely helps. It's definitely something that keeps my body like in shape and at that athletic place. So I do work out quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that really, really helps. And I wouldn't say that I warm up and vocalize every single day.
Yeah.
I do pretty much in the shower, but it's definitely something, I mean, your vocal cords, like that is another muscle and it is such a delicate muscle. And it is something that you, if you stop using it, you know, you're going to lose that strength and that stamina.
Yeah.
So I would say, you vocalize, even if it's 15 minutes or 10 minutes a day, just to keep
putting
it up.
I'm sweating over here, embarrassed because I don't do it. That's terrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Even being an actor, you have to keep your voice in like the best shape it can be. So I would say vocalizing for sure. Even just a few lip trills, like that kind of stuff. 10 minutes a day. That's all it needs to be. Or find a favorite song and just practice it, sing it, you know, sing it to your roommate, sing it to the wall. Those are the little small things that I think if you just keep doing that consistently, that will keep that going and keep that stamina up for it, for when it does hit you.
Well, Georgia, will you come back?
Yes, of course.
Will you come back when you're in six?
Yeah, right?
Georgia, thank you so much. And I look forward to speaking to you again.
Cool.
Thanks for being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Georgia Tapp, American actress in the UK. Now, before I go, just a few housekeeping bits. You can follow us, that's Curtain Call, on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call. You can follow me at John Schwab, JohnSchwab. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Georgia Tapp. We wish her all the best and know we'll be seeing her in the West End as soon as all of this madness passes. And the music you're hearing underneath this and that's going to play us out is Georgia singing in L.A. from the musical Fame. So enjoy it. And also a big thank you to Shure Microphones for sponsoring the episode. Thank you to listening to the Curtain Call Theater podcast. Stay safe, everybody. Reach out to someone today. Anyone, ask them how they're doing. You might just make their day. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.